Okay, so hello everyone and welcome. I am Nick Choi and this is our, I don't know which installment of our SDA podcast. Welcome. I don't know why they've chosen me as the moderator, but I'll do my best today. I put together stuff that I thought was interesting and I tried to use a model that I thought was good for me, which Arthur did. But
Quick intros.
And then should I kick off? I can kick off and then we can do quick intro.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess. Okay. So as far as the Guardians, I think you guys know much more than me. And again, they picked the person who's you know definitively knows the least about comic books and stuff. But
so we
here
said,
I go.
We said we're covering Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 today, right?
Volume 2. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So the second installment of Guardians of the Galaxy. I put together a few slides here, which I guess they don't show with the podcast, but Guardians of the Galaxy for me, so the stuff that is here is stuff that I thought, let me know if you guys think it's important, if you guys might know already, but the original, I was a big fan of, the second movie came out and I was really excited to see it. One of the things I wanted to know off the bat was this original storyline, because the things I never know about the movies when they come out, is this part of the original storyline, so I found out, of course, no, it's not. Was this Star-Lord's father in the comics and all that? No, it wasn't. The real father was someone named Jason.
One second before you continue.
Yeah.
Do you see the top of your deck? You can't even spell Guardians Vault 2 correctly. Come on.
Oh, goddamn. Good thing it's not showing.
Oh, man.
I told you I did this rush in the back of the meeting.
This is us bringing the farm.
Oh, come on.
Okay.
Hey, go full screen.
Encouragement.
Oh, full screen. What are you looking at? What are you talking about? So what I like what Arthur was is gave us a little history about the comic book stuff like that. So he was, like in the movie, he was he crash landed on Earth. He gets to know Meredith Quill, Peter Quill's mother. He gets her pregnant and leaves, doesn't know he has a son. Later it's revealed that he's the king of Spartax, I guess what they said. And similar to the movie plot is that he does later try to reunite with his son. He does kind of try to kill off his friends, and he does want his son to come and work with him. That character, Jason, there was originally a character in 2000, Prince Jason of Spartax, was supposed to be the original character. 2004, Peter Quill was introduced, and I guess it created some continuity problems. So in 2013, they created King Jason of Spartax to be the definitive father of Peter Quill. And then they had this, like, I don't know what they retconned, and they had two separate realities. There's like Earth 616 and Earth 791. Oh. So in this reality, he's the definitive father of Star-Lord.
I didn't know that.
And so,
know that.
And so this is Aang. So
yes! Yes! Yes!
Does Guardians of the Galaxy, is it having its own run in the comics?
There's multiple books. Okay, going on right now, yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. Okay. So and he was created in
616 is the prime Marvel universe. That's the one part I know. It's the mainline continuity.
Okay.
Yeah, everything else.
And so in Volume 2, Guardians of the Galaxy, this is what I found interesting. The creator of the Star-Lord character, Steve Englehart, he said this about, because he created Star-Lord and he left Marvel, I guess. He said, "I conceived him as something very large. My hero would go from being an unpleasant, introverted jerk to being the most cosmic being in the universe. And I tied into the new interest in astrology. But after his Earthbound beginnings, after he created him, to where I established him as an unpleasant, introverted jerk, I left Marvel so no one ever got to see what he would become."
Oh.
But what was interesting, I thought, was that in this movie, they kind of follow that. He does almost become like a cosmic being and all that kind of stuff, right? So it kind of went almost to the creator's original wishes. And then, of course, in this movie, the real... or the father that they portrayed as Ego, right, who first appeared in Thor 132, created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. Jack Kirby, I put that in for you, Arthur, because
wow.
He was one of the co-creators of Captain America.
Man.
I know about, no longer find him the most boring.
Oh, my God.
All right.
He
Ego was played by, Kurt Russell. In the comics, he absorbs planets and vessels and all this kind of stuff, and then he... This planet of the Regalian, because they're worried he's going to absorb the planet, so they get Thor to help them. Thor defeats Ego. Ego's kind of down on himself. Then Galactus tries to, I guess, take Ego, and Ego gets Thor to help him, and they fight off Galactus. I was like, oh, Galactus, I know that character from the Fantastic Four, so I just thought that was interesting.
Wow.
He's created by Kirby during their kind of like his own space age. Like he had a thing for, right? astrology and space, and they created the Kree, that same period after Galactus, the Kree, the colonizers, and Planet Ego. Kurt Russell, I've liked him ever since he was in Tombstone and he slapped Billy Bob Thornton. He'd been a big fan of him, so if you could pick anyone to play a planet named Ego, pick Kurt Russell. Okay.
Escape New York.
That's about all I had.
That's a great movie.
I know. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
yeah. Then that was it for what I had for the kind of brief history and things I found interesting about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Nice job.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll go around and introduce ourselves. I'll start. Let Ronald kind of kick it off.
All right. Yeah. So I'm Ronald. Been around Marvel for a good amount now. But honestly, I do not know much about the Guardians of the Galaxy. I have not read any of the Guardians of the Galaxy comics. Haven't read any of the tertiary comics related to any of the Guardians of the Galaxy characters either. So I'm coming in completely fresh into the world of Guardians through these movies. Okay. Kai?
Hello, my name is Kai, the youngest in the podcast.
Oh, okay. Try to keep it short.
Same as Ronald, I don't have any exposure to Guardians outside of the movies. Probably the only group in the whole MCU that I have the least information on. So it's just a long story.
Arthur?
Okay, so Arthur Wu, resident comic book nerd. Actually, I'm not as familiar with the Guardians as I am with other stuff. I'm familiar with the current team that they kind of rebooted in 2008. I've actually bought back some old issues of the previous team. Like, it's a total incarnation from, like, the 60s or 70s. So a lot of this is new to me also, but, enjoying it.
Okay.
Yeah. But, Dot Wynn and I don't know anything about the Guardians other than the movies. I've seen them in random Marvel cartoons here and there, and they're generally unnoteworthy there. So this has a lot more character and personality. But I only know them from the movies. I have no background at all. So I'm generally taking an into new sort of comic book movies. So even 1, 2 and all of the above. Yep. So everything you said was new to me.
Yeah.
Everything.
And they're quite hot in the books right now, currently.
It's like new books, right?
Yeah, Guardians has been very hot. So.
How long has Guardians been running their book for a long time? Or
so they rebooted in 2008 with the current incarnation with people coming in and out. So it's almost close to 10 years. I mean, it feels like yesterday, but they've been really hot the past, obviously, 4 years.
Obviously, based on what Nick was educating us about, there has been some tie-ins with Guardians into the more mainline Marvel characters like Galactus and things like that. But have they ever done like really? I mean, I'm betting they've done at least one or two issues where they've done crossovers with like the other X-Men or other
Iron Man
heroes. But have they done extended runs where they've crossed over?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they've done some crossovers. The original team is actually a future team. They've done some time travel stories. This current team incarnation has done a bunch of crossovers.
Okay.
To keep it short. So.
Yeah.
Oh, we have to.
Oh, and Anthony Vu.
Anthony Vu, you guys know me. Let's go to the reviews.
What's the start? I suggest that we should start with the youngest this time.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
We've got plenty of time.
Right.
We have a lot of time.
We'll
let Kai go.
We should always start with someone, and then he picks the next guy.
Yeah.
And then
let's do that.
Oh, that's a good idea. Nice.
Okay, so there's a lot of big debate about whether or not people like the first versus the second. And going into it, I heard a lot of mixed reviews. I can now understand why there were so many mixed reviews, because I am also of the mixed variety. I've struggled with understanding what parts I liked and I didn't like, and it's hard to talk about what I did or didn't like about the movie. And I think ultimately the decision was actually like the first one better than the second one. And so one of the big reasons why I didn't like it was because the first movie was great because of its novelty. You had these cast characters that kind of, they poked out a little bit for each one. And then for this movie, they decided to, of course, naturally expand on them. And so when you expand, you hopefully, you're not going to love every character, but you're hopefully going to love some of them. I ended up not really developing any further feelings for any of them. And so when we talk about some of the character development that occurred in the movie, one of the big glaring things that I guess I'll come to mind is the immediate drop off from the end of the movie, the first one, into the beginning of the second one regarding Yondu's stature during the film.
Yep.
That to me was a very jarring experience because near the end of the film, he is kind of top dog in his mercenary world and he's just angry that Star-Lord has bested him. But then suddenly we do a 180 in the beginning of this film and he's an outcast and a total loser and is now at the bottom of the barrel with potential mutinies coming about. And so I'm sitting here going, what the hell happened between Guardians 1 and Guardians 2? And then of course by the end of the movie you realize that they're trying to shoehorn this kind of like late game father, you know, son relationship that was like hinted at in the first movie. Right, you get in the first movie, but you kind of take it at face value because you're like, yeah, you know, the Star-Lord was in a shitty situation, you pick them up, whatever. But the whole time, like, not just the relationship between him and Yondu, but also the relationship between Gamora and Nebula, and then, what's it called? Groot and actually, Rocket and Yondu. All of them were just so on the nose, like in your face, like here we are trying to really develop this relationship. And to me, it just felt really flat because it was a little bit too disingenuous.
Do we know if they had the second movie planned out when they made the first, or did they write the second and try to?
He wrote parts of, in the research, he wrote parts, those storylines, the Yondu storyline and that stuff, he wrote that before he wrote the first movie.
Okay, so those were known entities, and they did drop
as backstory. I don't know if you can do a second.
Some, right, but not necessary. So, like, there's obviously the Gamora Nebula relationship pulls from the comics. It's not really elaborated upon, but
the scriptwriter guy, he wrote that Yondu storyline,
and you can always tell from the first movie that the Yondu Star-Lord relationship was something that was a little bit planned. Now, when it comes into they're bringing the actual father, Star-Lord's father, into the movie, that's when you make some adjustments. And to me, I felt the delivery was a little bit weak. Now, to be fair, as cheesy as it was, I liked how it ended. I was fine with Yondu's heroic finish of saving Star-Lord, but still, it just felt kind of flat. And part of it, I want to blame to how jarring it was in the beginning of the movie, but also how awful Ego was as a character to me. I really did not like Ego as a villain in this movie. And it was because it was so just blaringly generic, right? This is like another Dormammu-esque unique hero, a living planet, the opportunity to introduce a cosmic level being, and they just degenerated him back to some other like evil galaxy villain who for some reason, having lived millions of years, easily gets defeated by a brain bomb. And I'm just like, what? Like, I just feel like they wrote this movie and really struggled to figure out, how are we gonna kill this guy? And they're like, you know what? He's totally just gonna not see a bomb get attached to his brain coming at all.
Yeah, I agree. I felt like he was not nearly as powerful as he should have been.
No, it was ridiculous, you know? And then, as a side note, I'm laughing at like the clever but convenient PowerPoint presentation he had in his own like
home. Yeah.
You mean in the egg things?
Yeah.
The storytelling.
You know, really bothered me about that. Just graphics really poor.
Not only that. Was I thought it was like a projection where it was like, you know, temporarily there.
Yeah.
But later on, they walk through it again. It's a permanent display.
So
it's a permanent picture.
I mean, but the guy's name.
Yeah.
I also think like he's had to tell that story over thousands and thousands and thousands of times that he just made permanent fixtures, right? Because every kid of his, he's had to like walk them through this story about how whatever the whole history, and it's I get how people would think, oh my god, I can't believe you actually have like physical presentation of your history. But I also get like, if he's, you know, he's lived a million years, whatever, and he's told the story over and over, why he would have something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little fuzzy on how he actually handled the other offspring, because they kind of rushed through that plot twist like really quickly.
Yeah.
But it's a little thing anyway. I just thought it was hilarious. Mm-hmm. You know, you can take it however you want. I took it as just like, a little bit lazy, a little bit creative, but a little bit lazy that they did it that way. But that wasn't a big issue. He was just a giant generic baddie that to me didn't add anything to the universe.
I'm very surprised at how much I agree with Kai. A lot of these points.
Did they have a similar scene in number one?
Completely shocked. How much in agreement I have with Kai? What's going on?
Did they have a similar scene in number one when they were going through like the gems? The Infinity Stones? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, they had a few like flashes to showing some Titans and some Celestials, according to Arthur, like demonstrating the gems' powers
in one
in the first movie.
When the collector was explaining the
And they had the little
that kind
like
of fit into that collector
story. Like that, I felt was more fitting. I felt more natural than you know these like convention like. But anyway, that's besides the point. And so to me, the forced character story. Like, it was so obvious, like, watching them pepper in, Rocket, you're a real asshole. And I'm just like, do we really have to say that, like, for the audience? I'm like, we've known he's an asshole from the first movie, but what, suddenly you guys are offended now? And then I was like, oh, now you guys are just literally leading into him having some sort of, you know, powwow with Yondu saying, look, we're both lonely assholes. And, but there are things that we care about. And I was like, come on, man. It's just like, it's just so, it just felt so forced. And maybe not, I don't know, kind of unnecessary. Like the only thing that I probably really enjoyed in terms of interactions, even though some people criticized it, was, the interactions between Mantis and Drax. Like I get Drax and I laugh a lot and it might be a little bit too much, but even those interactions, I was like, oh, that was the comedic relief to me.
Yeah,
watching those two talk, because Star-Lord's over here, you know, pissing and moaning about Gamora versus his dad. Gamora's got to deal with, like, two-year-old Nebula here complaining about, sister, you're always abusing me. And then, you know, you got Rocket and Yondu crying over each other because they're, you know, lonely assholes. And then, you know, Groot's over there in the corner doing this cute thing. So you're, like, sitting there like, man, who do I even look to for comedic relief anymore? And it ended up having to be Drax and Mantis, so... To me, at the end of the day, I felt that this was either a stagnation in the group because I'm not really looking forward to Nebula on her tray to kill Thanos. I know it's just a nice setup for Infinity Gauntlet. You know, Star-Lord, sure. Well, now he doesn't have his power apparently, right? Because he's killed Ego, so he's at zero. Nothing really happened to him besides, I guess, having his late stage father die for him.
Does he still retain some of his power?
No.
I mean, that would be a cheat, I think, if he had to keep his power and go with the Avengers to fight.
Yeah,
right. They said so. They said at the end he didn't keep his power. Like Kurt Russell says, like, if you kill me or whatever, you lose everything.
You lose everything, right? Yeah.
Which makes sense because I don't want him. It changes the character then.
Yeah. But his power is mainly that he's invincible, essentially, right?
Well, he has cosmic level powers.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to be immortal, too.
Yeah. Right, immortal, exactly.
Yeah, and you have cosmic level.
But
you
got blown by a bomb.
I thought that was only when he's on the planet, though, but like when he's away from that, he had some other powers.
I'm sure you can extend it, but, you know, you don't grant that kind of level of power to somebody.
No.
Because that changes the whole thing.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, and so, and then Rocket. Rocket's still Rocket. Groot is still Groot. So to me, I just like, I felt like nothing changed in my opinion. And so that's why I was just like, this is either a stagnation of the group or it actually, to me, it's a downgrade because you had a lot of opportunity to do some setup for Infinity Gauntlet. I did laugh at the Sovereign group. That was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
But that was about it. So those are my general sentiments.
It sounds like you hated the movie.
I didn't hate it.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, we're supposed to talk about good and bad, so I just heard a lot of bad. So,
do you guys want to do scores as we go around, or hold it to the end?
You can hold it to the end.
Okay.
All right. So I would say it's okay.
Oh. All right, pick the next person.
I'm gonna pick Ronald.
All right, man. I agree with you, Nick, and Kai has said so many things that
right?
I agree with. See, the main things that stick that are trademarks to me for Guardians of the Galaxy, at least from the first one, is
you saw first too.
One, it's humor. Yeah, I saw opening weekend, and so it's been a little while. Well, one is its humor and its irreverence, and two is its relationships, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because so many of those relationships changed, I feel like the movie just It also
typing like, in the recording.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you already talked about a bunch of the issues with relationships, but I had a big issue with Nebula and Gamora, right? I mean, they went from killing each other to just
besties.
Yeah, to just having sisters that were misunderstanding each other so quickly that I was like, hold up, what happened?
Like they're shooting each other. She flies all the way across the galaxy, and she's like, I just want a sister.
Wait, what? What? I laughed out loud in the theater when she said that line. I was like,
I think I'm
no
way.
I was like,
ugh.
Yeah. There was that, and I'm a sucker for like father, son, and father daughter relationships in movies, and I felt like they could have done so much more between Ego and Peter Quill.
Yeah.
I just felt like there could have been a huge emotional peak right there, but I never really felt like they got there. When Peter Quill rejected him, Ego went from good to like evil so quickly. He just turned.
Well, actually,
on him.
Let me counterexample that. So I'm actually okay with that because the reality is that Ego and Peter Quill have never seen each other or talked to each other at all.
Right.
And so to me, the emotional buildup shouldn't be there.
Now, no expectation.
Right. Now, I would switch that over and say, you know what, the emotional relationship between him and Yondu should have been bigger.
Yeah.
Because they have the history. Because they set him up as, you know what, you're my father.
Adopted father, yeah.
Right? And that's where it should have been more.
I did not feel like, though, I didn't understand how they tried to twist that Yondu to Peter and Peter Quill relationship where it was, they look back on it, oh, actually, he wasn't so bad. You know what I mean?
It's like, he's
like,
beat me.
Come on.
Yeah.
Like,
so that's part of the on the nose thing, right?
Yeah.
They're just like, they're just really disrespecting their audience.
I have to agree. It was like, personally, it was kind of subtle. There was like something there, even though it wasn't real or like whatever, but this one, they kind of just shoved it in your face. Like, he's not your daddy, boy.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah.
Come on, you didn't go there.
And the other thing that I think some people will disagree with me on is Groot. I actually did not like how much they've used Groot like the cute action figure that they're going to sell.
Yeah,
like the entire first 5 minutes of the movie, like it started out pretty funny when he was the whole dancing scene.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, hold on. Are they going to go do another 4 or 5 minutes of this? Like really?
So that was that opening action scene with Groot dancing. That was pretty much my sentiment for the whole movie. It started with something good, and then they just went too much.
Yeah,
they
just
kept it up for too
long.
Yeah,
they dragged it. They dragged it out too much.
They dragged it out with all their jokes, with all their, like, things. They did too many. I feel like that's my opinion. I think they went
too
much.
Yeah, no, I agree. Too much of cute Groot. Like, you
too
know,
much, yep.
I actually don't like it when they try to make cute things go on for too long. Like, I didn't like the Minion movies. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, they make one cute thing from one movie, like, hey, these guys are really cute. All right, now let's do 5 movies about them.
Yeah, they double down, yeah.
Well, I'm just waiting for it,
though.
It is, that's true. It's forgivable. Which is why it's forgivable.
Yeah.
Why are they, you know, doing cute Groot for 5 minutes in an adult movie?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, kids watch this movie, too. But they're not the main demographic.
Yeah. I got tired of it.
Just a side note, there was an adult in there with a kid, like he had like a 5-year-old son or something. He had to take him out crying in the middle of the movie.
Wow.
He got scared at some point. I think when they were killing all people.
Yeah.
He was like killing 1,000 people in a ship.
Movies too, so that's not, that's, you know, so it's not totally foreign to them.
No, of course not. But
you still think they overdid it.
Yeah. Okay. As an adult, I got tired of it. I mean, it comes down to, you know, Ego didn't really feel like a real threat, you know, in the end. You know, he should have been so powerful, and I just felt like he could have posed a bit larger threat.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I did like parts of the movie. You know, there were certain scenes that were really fun, and, you know, they had some good action scenes, but overall was not moved by the movie. Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
All right.
Nick?
Yeah, okay. I'll go. I have
notes. He needs notes.
I do need
notes.
Jeez. You know what? The same thing. I agree with almost a lot of what Kai said. They took a lot of the stuff
that's
like,
recorded.
Like
the
enjoy it. Not just like with the jokes. I felt like, so I'll go along with what Ron said. Almost exact same sentiment. I liked some of the action scenes. It had some good parts, but a lot of it I felt like they didn't overwork. Because like almost every serious scene, you're like, okay, you know they're gonna crack a joke at it.
Yeah.
Like, they're like building up serious dialogue, and then you're like, okay, but I know the joke's coming, and it would come, and you're like, it's too predictable.
It modulates from serious to funny way too often,
too much
quickly.
To make it pop. I felt like it was the Avengers, like the Age of Ultron, where they try to make Iron Man too quippy. Like every single scene,
yeah,
he has to have like a one liner. I felt like they tried to do that too much.
It's also like, I think it was like just too predictable. Like, I think in the Guardians 1, they put it in the right spots and they were like genuinely funny lines. But I think this one, they just, you can see it coming from a mile away, right? Like you just, probably something coming here. Like
the one that was the most for me was like when the, not Gamora, but the sister,
Nebula
is like leaving and the guy's like, what are you going to do now? And she goes off with that long rant about how she's going to kill her dad. You're like, yeah. He's like, oh, I thought you were gonna buy something nice for yourself. So everything I liked about the first one, I feel like they kind of, because the first one was really fresh and really funny and it was really different. And this one, I feel like they kind of lost on a lot of it. They went against what they were originally good for.
Yeah.
Even like the lines, I think we were talking about this, but like that one line they kind of stole from Fast and the Furious where he's like, we're not friends, we're family. I was like, oh,
yeah,
come on, man.
I love it.
So a lot of the stuff I felt like was the opposite. The first one was so like original. This one was so like not
derivative,
original.
Yeah.
Derivative.
Very derivative. Yeah,
storyline to the sisters, that tells us.
Oh man. Hey, another example of staying on the jokes for too long. Did anybody find the Taserface joke funny?
That went on for way too long too.
Oh, where he's like, yeah, making fun of his name, the Taserface?
Yeah.
Face?
Definitely.
Quick side note, Amy
long.
Harlan had just
way
walked into
long.
The meeting. I'll go on real quickly.
Anthony Vu on there?
Anthony Vu is on. You want to say hi to Anthony Vu?
Hey,
oh,
yeah, Matt.
What's up? Oh my god, you just ruined the podcast. It's fine.
Special
what's up?
Guest.
I haven't seen
hey.
You in so long. You look
can't be SDA now.
Do you miss me? It's okay. Say yes.
Guest appearance in our podcast for those out
special
there.
Guest.
Amy Harlan has arrived.
That's right.
Another oi, oi, oi. Okay. We'll go back to it.
All right, the Taker scene went on way too long.
Did you watch
no
Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
It.
Did you watch Volume 2?
No.
No, she didn't.
No, get out.
How rude. No.
Get out.
Will it be on my plane tomorrow?
Oh.
No.
Maybe.
If it is, watch it and let us know what
you think. Yes. Yeah. Cross your fingers. Okay, all other right. Things
I hated.
Enjoy. Other things you hated?
I thought the character was generic too. I like Kurt Russell. I think he's good. But I thought the character was really generic. Yeah, and you can see he's coming. He's gonna be a bad guy. I did like the Drax. I had liked some of the jokes, like the raccoon and Drax. Like where he's like petter.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. But I think there was way too many that didn't land. So they had a huge volume, but only a few landed for me.
Yeah. I do think that Drax had the funniest lines.
He did. He's
yeah.
A funniest character.
Overall.
Side
then,
note,
those could have been better too.
And see if you agree with me, but Anthony Boob, I think the character, what's her name? The girl with the antennas?
Mantis.
Looked like Liza.
Yeah.
Side note, okay, anyways, I'll go on. I hated the Stallone character. I was like, I couldn't understand. I was in a theater and it was like surround sound. I couldn't understand what he was saying.
Yeah.
He was mumbling like
right.
All his lines. I was like, what?
I knew his name was important, but I couldn't hear his name.
I couldn't hear what
so
he was saying.
Like, I knew this guy's important.
He was like facial edema.
What
was like,
what's his name?
Goofy. I don't know.
It's,
well,
I know
he said it.
I know it's comic book name.
Okay.
He's Starhawk.
Oh, okay.
He's like an overlord.
I'll share that.
All right. Go
ahead. Okay. And then, the other thing that I thought was, I actually agree with Kai, like, even though I was like, I didn't enjoy the movie that much, the end kind of brought it back for me. I liked the last scene. It kind of redeemed the movie for me. I don't know why, I just had a feeling. I liked the music too in the last scene. I was like, this was okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the last scene for me kind of brought it back together, but brought me back on board with it. I got kind of lost. I kind of like found myself kind of drifting out of like not
mm-hmm.
being connected with the movie
yeah.
at points. And then the end kind of brought it back for me.
Which last scene?
The funeral scene.
Yeah, the funeral.
For him.
Scene
for
oh,
Yondu.
Oh, yes. Fireworks part.
Yeah.
The fireworks part. I don't know why. I was kind of
when all
funny.
The scavengers came.
Yeah, all the scavengers came.
Scavenger.
And I was like,
Ravagers?
Ravagers. Sorry, not
scavengers. But yeah, that was it for me. Again, similar. I didn't find it as good as the first one. I thought it was okay. It had some redeeming parts to it. Good action and a few jokes that landed and stuff. But overall, it was kind of okay for me. But, actually, I'll go to Anthony.
Okay. Let me see. I have some notes here. So I might be the minority in this. Usually I agree with Ronald. I actually enjoyed this movie. There's a lot of reasons. I understand why people have been a bit, you know, hard on this movie. I think it's very hard to make a sequel that's so, I don't know how to say, cause like the first one is so like groundbreaking. It's just totally different. They had the music, they had like the funny jokes, they had the really interesting characters, and you're gonna compare this one to that one. And if you don't do it better than that one, if you don't do everything better than that one, then you're kind of seeing like, oh, it's not as good. And so I think it was just hard. It's just hard to make a sequel. I'm not to say like they couldn't have done better, right? But I felt like, this was the most connected sequel, of any of the other Marvel movies. Only because this felt, and this is different. To me, this is not like your Winter Soldier to Captain America 1 or Iron Man 2 to Iron Man 1. This felt like a second episode of a TV show to the Guardians of the Galaxy. And so because of that, things, you know, there isn't a big grand new storyline. It was more of a maturation of the characters. And this is supposed to happen only like 3 months after Guardians 1, right? And I felt like that it was a very short time between the first and second one. So I think I enjoy the movie mostly just because I enjoy the characters. I agree with you guys. I feel like the jokes fell flat. A lot of them did. I felt like they did too many of them. I felt like, the villain, there's good and bad. I think I really like that they tried to, like, when I originally heard that Ego was going to be the villain, I was like, how are they going to do this? This is, like, so difficult to do a planet, a celestial, and I'm glad they went for it. I don't think they hit it. I think the villain was sort of, it became of creating your own rules thing towards the end of the movie where you had to, they just started to create rules, like, he had a brain, they had to go blow it up, and I was like, yeah, this is kind of, it didn't hit for me. But I mean, at least they tried to do something bigger, and it was pretty difficult to do. What else did I like? I don't know. When I compare it to like Doctor Strange, cause I think that was the last Marvel movie, I enjoy it better than, I enjoy it more than Doctor Strange.
Wow.
Sorry, Dad. Sorry with your 9.3 or whatever.
Or whatever.
What? That's man. Doctor Strange. Sure.
Yeah. what else did I say? I felt like, yeah, things were a bit forced with some of the relationships, but there's a lot of questions that I had from the first one that I felt were answered here. Like, some of them were like, how come Yondu at the end of the first one, he smiled when he got that troll? And I was like, I thought he was going to be pissed off, you know, that he didn't have the stone. Also, like, what happened with Gamora? Like, we barely got to see her in the first one, and I feel like there was a lot more of her in this one. Same thing with the whole the father thing. You can tell that a lot of this stuff was written out when James Gunn was writing that first movie. Like, he knew where it was going to end, and I appreciated that. What else? I don't think the soundtrack was as good as the first one. Again, we're comparing first movie to second movie. I think they use a lot more obscure tracks on the second film. Let me see, what else? I really love the Mary Poppins joke. Like, I don't know. I did not see that coming, and I was like, maybe because just the way he was standing too, and the way he said it, it was, I mean, I got a good laugh out of that.
Yeah.
Poppins
cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Mary Poppins!
And then, I was gonna say, this, the line in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 about, you know, I'm your daddy is way better than Logan's fucking, daddy!
Daddy, you know what?
I'm not on board with that. I was not a fan of the Logan daddy line.
Yeah. But Michael Rooker's, you know, he's like, I'm your daddy. Like, it's more, way more convincing. Anyways, overall, enjoyed it. Didn't like it as much as the first movie. But I just kind of, I enjoy hanging out with this group of characters.
Damn, I don't even know who this is on the phone.
You know what? I want to ask you this, Anthony.
That was way too positive.
Yes.
Who are you? He's the reverse Hulk.
Nice, Anthony.
I wanted to ask all you guys one thing. Because one of the things I thought there was too many of also, just like the group, I felt like there was too many end credit scenes. There was like something like five. I was like, what? Yeah. Another one?
Yeah.
Was that just, do you guys think there was too many as Marvel fans?
I kind of thought of it as like a joke, another joke, right?
A bunch of them were not really serious. There was only one that was really important.
Yeah. Only one was important.
The other four were kind of like fun.
I think there was two that was important.
Was it Watcher?
Maybe three. I would say three.
That was cool. The other ones were more for fun. There's only one that is really, really important.
No, there were two that were.
Which ones?
Well, one that was really important, and then another one that...
We'll talk about it now.
I'll mention that.
All right.
So, wait, are we talking about it now or what?
No. We'll move on to the next person.
Are you all...
Oh yeah, so let's go to Dad next.
Actually, I'm glad you had a slightly different opinion. I thought you guys ever watch American Idol. So in the beginning of American Idol, everybody like rags on
Simon
because he has got sort of outward appearance. But as the show goes on, they all sort of start to take on his personality, right?
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned that we might end up that way. So within the sending, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
But you know, in terms of this movie, I think it. I kind of equated a little bit to like The Matrix 2 and 3, where they said, oh, everybody loved that movie. Let's see what we can do to take the things they love and then multiply it times 10.
Yeah.
And ruin it.
And, you know, like there were some good actions, good fights, there's a lot of jokes, but the overall volume, the balance, I think, was lost in this. You know, I hear what you say about it being I think, Anthony, you were saying how it's like seeing an episode in a TV show. The problem is it's not a TV series. We're not going to get the opportunity to develop it in a way where you can sort of take that slow growth and momentum. So have changes like you do in Civil War, Captain America series, I think is a little more appropriate for movies, especially with limited contracts and the aging of the characters, right? And how long it takes to move on to the next. I'm not taking away from what you felt. I think that's kind of the problem with us judging it as a movie, right?
That's why I liked it though, because it wasn't just your sequel. Like, if it was a different way of doing a sequel to me compared to the other ones.
If I knew I was going to get more volume, I probably would have given that one a pass.
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of how I see it. Now, in terms of the whole family thing, you know, I'll draw another comparison. I felt like it was Scooby-Doo, where everybody, when they break up, they had to pair up with somebody. And the whole, you know, my relationship with you, and then everybody had to have a relationship with somebody, was just nuts to the point where I was like, hey man, spread it over the life of the franchise. Don't burn it all here. I mean, the movie ended up feeling really heavy handed. Like they went room and said, all right, this movie's going to be about family and everything you do is going to have to revolve around. Right. And that's really what this movie's going to be about. And I felt, you know, I largely agreed with, you know, Kai, you, because maybe because you said it first, but a lot of the personality turns where you think it's heading in one direction, but really it turns out to be another, they're too abrupt. They're too sharp. They were too, not so much out of nowhere per se, but I like movies that lead into things where it's almost like they weren't trying to see they were giving you hints along the way, and they kind of did that, but it was still too
forced.
Yes, too fast and too forced. Ego definitely was a generic Marvel villain. The way they defeat the bad guys is the same ones in every Marvel movie, where there's one thing that just destroys everything, and it's too simple.
At least there was no blue light in the sky this time.
True. But at the same time, it's still a Marvel weakness, in my opinion.
Yep.
It's a typical Marvel weakness.
Yep.
Where you enjoy the main characters and sort of seeing their development, what they do, but the bad guys, either they can just stop killing them, lock them down in a more difficult way, or something. But I do think they need to get better than that.
Yeah.
Cross my fingers to get Dr. Doom, because he can't exist in the Marvel Universe without a fantastic part of the project.
Sure.
But anyway, the movie felt heavy-handed to me. I did overall enjoy it. I felt the jokes hit and miss, but volume was overall too big. I actually thought the plot developed really slowly, personally.
Yeah.
You know, at some point you can see Ego's gonna head where he was, but at the same time, it just happened so slow. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was halfway through the movie, and I wasn't sure how they were gonna build the evilness of the story. I also felt like the execution of certain ideas weren't done very well, like if they're Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
When Ego started to take over, and quote-unquote take over the galaxy, they should have did a better job of showing how bad that situation was.
So is that a problem if you watch a movie halfway through, you don't know where it's going to go?
Depends on how it turns out. I think that the reveal wasn't strong enough to say it was worth the wait.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay? So that was a problem that I had overall. I think that this story, this plot looks good on paper. I just thought the execution could have been way, way, way better. Right? But yeah, I think that more or less sums up what I had. The one thing I'll say about, I complained a lot of these things to my wife, and she told me a few things that put some things in perspective, such as Gamora and Nebula, about how they fought and why would Gamora allow that situation to even exist. And she was just talking about how, hey, maybe they're just kids, and she said, hey, I don't want what's happening to Nebula to happen to me, so I'm going to keep winning. I don't want him to rip out my eye and put in something if I'm not good enough. I don't know. But there are some perspectives that you really have to read into to enjoy better, and I think that's actually a flaw of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You'd have to create narratives that weren't there. Okay. End of the day, I did have a good time. I wasn't entertained the entire time, but I liked it more than I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And I'll leave it at that till we get to the numbers.
Cool. All right.
Arthur. Wow.
Get home, Arlo.
This is funny. I find myself agreeing with Anthony a little bit.
What?
That's not surprising.
No, we actually debate. We actually disagree a lot of stuff. Okay. However, there's a lot of caveats to that. So Anthony had a lot of good points about the overall stuff. Though I will agree with you, Kai, about the execution of killing the character. Now, I don't know how you get around that, but I'll agree, like, yeah, it's a little too simplistic.
Yeah.
I agree. That was pretty
good. Yeah, I agree with that. It didn't bother me, some of the stuff you said about presenting a story, and I'm like, okay, I get your point. I understand that. It just didn't bother me about, okay, this is how I'm going to tell the story to my kid. I actually thought it was kind of funny. It's just a way to tell the non-fan or the new person, this is kind of how it is. I kind of take that as not, for some people who don't like or connect with sci-fi, it's just a way to explain those kind of concepts.
It didn't bother me.
So it didn't bother me too much. And I use that test to sort of like, someone like my wife who doesn't like sci-fi, it's not that she hates it, but she just, it doesn't connect with it. So unless there's a way to connect or explain something to her to allow her to enjoy it, then she'll never watch a science fiction or something that had, a movie that takes place in space. So to me, that was just a way to maybe ease somebody in who doesn't maybe appreciate space drama or sci-fi. Now, you can debate how hard, whether that was done good or bad, but I took it that, okay, that's just their way of doing it. And I didn't really have a problem with that. I appreciated they used Ego. I'm like, okay, they're actually using a cosmic level bad guy, who is, trying to absorb the whole universe. They showed the Earth, getting enveloped with some stuff. I'm like, oh, okay, Earth's in trouble. Now, part of me is like, are they going to show the Avengers?
Nah.
That's too much overhead. Yeah, that would be way too much overhead, right?
Because it costs too much, actually.
Yeah, you're like, exactly. So I'm like, okay, I'm glad that they're starting to show consequences in the galaxy. I'm like, okay, you have a villain that is now directly affecting the rest of the universe directly. I'm like, okay, that is a cosmic level villain that is doing something at a totally different level than alien beings, right? He's absorbing the galaxy because he feels like he needs to, do what he does. So I'm like, okay. And I was impressed with the fact that, okay, they actually showed his face. I'm like, okay, if you're going to show Ego, you got to show his face at least. So they showed his face. I'm like, okay, that at least looks like Ego, the living planet, because in Dormammu, it didn't look anything like the comic, right? And you had the great opportunity. You've already built the goodwill, and you didn't show Dormammu. You sort of showed the generic face that was built off of, what's his name?
Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
He actually did the motion capture for that.
I don't even know what Romani's going to look.
Well, he's kind of like this guy with a flaming head.
Like a ghost demon.
With
Galia. Oh, you know the Marvel versus Capcom game?
Yeah, he's
is that
in
what
there.
He
he's in there.
Yeah. He's kind of like Ghost Rider-ish, but
to me, I'm like a trench coat, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
kind
his
of,
clothes can change,
kind of.
But
okay.
You gotta at least have his flaming head. So, for me, it's like, okay, if you're gonna go with a character, I would hope that you're gonna go make him look like it. So, and I'm thinking, okay, you're now introducing a character, a planet, literally a planet level villain, right? A cosmic level villain. I'm like, okay, are you gonna go the Galactus route in the old FF movies, make him like the storm cloud,
right,
in space? Or are you gonna go all in and actually show him and how he looks like? I'm like, okay, visually, you made him look like he did. And he's not a Celestial, by the way. That's something that you introduced in there. Celestial is another cosmic level being in the big cosmic level chain of things. So
yeah.
I think Celestials are above ego, so to speak. But ego is still, to me, a cosmic level being that operates at a different level than your conventional planetary type villains, right? So he's absorbing the universe. I'm like, okay, that's a big threat to me. I'm like, okay, that's high stakes. Now the execution, all the things you mentioned about, I get that. And I agree that it's like, okay, well, how else do you kind of kill this guy? How come he's not aware? I do agree with some of the jokes because some of them were going a little too far in terms of volume, or they're starting to become redundant. There's one part you guys mentioned was when the Sovereign Queen was visiting that planet and they're rolling up the carpet.
Oh, yeah.
And then they kept stopping for her. I'm like, okay, you did it once. And then they kept doing it again. I'm like, okay,
yep.
That's enough.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, we know that she's like this big,
that's
huge. And I'm like, okay, even I thought, okay, enough is already.
It's a joke dragging on.
It's literally dragging on with the carpet.
It's literally dragging
on, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, you showed it once that where they're all kind of walking eggshells around her, then you kept dragging it up. All right, okay, that's
good. No, though, I loved her. Aisha?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
loved
her.
Yeah.
And she is actually, by the way, there's a trivia. She's actually a Marvel character that comes from, and this goes back to the Easter egg, is the twin of Adam Warlock.
Okay.
So they kind of redefined her character as this sovereign leader. And I actually should have recognized her as all gold. Like, I should have caught that. But anyway, I'm glad I was surprised.
Well,
what
I liked about her was, although she was kind of, in some ways, it seemed
totally
correct and natural.
Yeah,
it wasn't trying, but it was what
the
it was.
The whole 80s arcade thing, I love that. It was hilarious.
Yeah, that was funny. Like the sounds. Yeah.
Right, like all the ding ding and then the coin sounds, I love that. Now, definitely back to the jokes, I'm like, wow, okay, a movie like Deadpool, you can go on volume because that's the way he is. He doesn't stop, right? So he's not going to land all of them, but that's just the way Deadpool is. He's just going to keep unloading on you. And this one, I'm like, gosh, too much Taserface. There's one like...
It wasn't different. It was the same joke that they dragged.
Yeah,
out,
and
like,
then the penis joke that we kept going on, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's too much already. And then a few others, I'm like, okay, you could have just stopped there. But I did like the banter. So kind of related to what Anthony said about, it was nice to just see the characters. You've got the origin stuff out of the way. I just like to see them kind of banter now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very comfortable with each other and they're going to cap on each other. And I kind of like the beginning. I actually really like the beginning because
mm-hmm.
I thought it was just a lot of fun. I mean, I expected them, okay, you're going to have a typical introduction fight scene. They're all going to hate on each other and they're going to try to defeat this villain. But it wasn't actually about them. They're kind of in the background fumbling around. And sort of capping at each other, which I thought was funny. And then, you know, you have Groot sort of introducing everybody. I'm like, okay, that's kind of, I actually enjoyed that.
I agree there. Usually.
Or a fight scene. I was expecting to just go in straightforward and then finish it off and be done with it. But it's like, okay, they're doing something different. And they're kind of using Groot to kind of do the cutesy thing. And then the guys in the background kind of fumbling around, which I kind of enjoy.
Yeah,
I mean,
you get a whole big fight scene.
Like, you like the whole thing you see with Groot?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I thought the joke dragged on too long, but I think I like the idea of the big fight that is usually a big, your first big action set is in the background.
Yeah.
And
they're not.
It's not like you would spend a lot of money on that piece and they're like, no, let's just put it in the background. Let's show something in the foreground. It's a different way of shooting a scene. I like it.
And I agree, like, jokes like Taserface and things like that, it's like, okay. You know, law of diminishing returns. I'll agree with you guys. Definitely there. But I did like the banter of everything. I don't mind them capping each other. I don't mind them sort of going off and having these relationships. I get where you guys can see where some of this stuff wasn't earned, but it didn't feel so far-fetched to me like, oh wow, you know, the whole father thing with you came out of nowhere completely. I mean, there was some stuff that was already in the first movie. It just didn't come like, oh, you have daddy issues with Yondu. No, it was sort of there before. So I can believe that you'll take it there. I did like the switch when what's his name? Kurt Russell said, oh, by the way, I gave your mom a tumor and killed her. And then you immediately see Peter like, oh gosh, and that will come up. I'm like, okay.
I did like his switch.
Exactly. I like
his switch. Good, where he just like, what the heck? Just goes off and shoots him.
And I'm like, wow, that really showed your devotion to your mom, which was also alluded to in the first movie.
That's not a switch, though. That's kind of what you'd expect.
Yeah.
Right.
If they paused him and said, what do you think Peter will do next?
Right, and I'm glad,
that's
exactly.
Much what you're
yeah, exactly.
And I'm, but I'm glad he did that. And I'm glad, kind of glad that was one of those things that set him up because, you know, he was already starting to fall victim to his father's, you know, seduction, so to speak. He was like, eternity.
But it's just like classic villain, like,
of course,
I've got you in the ropes, now I'm gonna give you this gun in your hand, I hope you don't shoot me.
Right.
But he had no reason to tell him that he killed his mom.
Well, yeah.
But he's like, we need to make him angry. So what's the dumbest thing Eagle can say?
Well, he's an egotistical.
No.
So, all that aside, I understand. I actually like the music more for some reason in this movie. I can't say I'm familiar with all the music, but for some reason it was just a lot of fun. One thing you guys didn't mention is the way they frame certain action sequences, which I thought were kind of innovative. So the beginning, where they're all circling in the background, and then they had Yondu shooting the arrow at all those guys, and then the camera would pan above, and it's, you'd see the path of the kind of killing. So they did some kind of interesting and innovative action scenes, which I thought were kind of cool in terms of, oh, okay, they're not just going to show them straightforward. They're going to show the arrow going by, and then they're doing some other like sound effects. Kind of like an arcade.
Yep. Oh, like the action overall.
So I did like the way they frame certain things. And I kind of, this is where I was like with Kai, I'm like, I don't know whether I like this movie more or less than the first, because I'm trying to balance it out with the novelty of the first, because you're never going to overcome the novelty. That's a really hard thing to do with what Anthony said. But, you know, it's almost like maybe the first one just squeaks by a little bit, not because I dislike the second, but if I had to make a choice, but I still enjoyed this movie overall. A lot of things you guys mentioned, aside from Anthony, I understand, and I don't disagree. It just didn't bother me as much.
You know what?
I'm like, okay. It didn't bother me.
I'd like to call out the fact that I think that they completely could have overcome the novelty at first. And I know a lot of people.
Oh, every it's possible. I'm not saying it's impossible.
Well, Marvel has shown that they can, and I'm not saying that the second movies were better than the first, but things like Iron Man, we went from Tony Stark's Iron Man 1, other than him showing up and quipping everywhere, they showed a real development, real growth, real change in the character, and they did overdo the jokes, the technology, too much.
Same movies with, went downhill, though.
That's what I'm saying,
yeah.
Is that, you know, if James Gunn wrote it, and he's the one who edited it, he seems to lack a sense of balance too much, too far, etc.
Yeah. Like Lucas.
Yeah.
Like went overboard on his own stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like that.
It's totally fair, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, and I'll say, like, I was also trying to pick out, like, okay, where's the Easter egg coming from, right? So the whole thing with Stallone, I was like, I can't hear your name. You look familiar. But those guys are actually the original Guardians of the Galaxy team.
So
Michelle Yeoh was one of, they changed her character. In the book, she's a blonde haired,
Hobbinbow.
Yeah.
Nice. They Asianized her.
They made her emo. So I didn't even know who it was until I had to go back to forums. I'm like, oh, that's the original team. Cause Stallone, Starhawk, I kind of recognize it, the shoulder pads. Mm. And I'll have to look at the screenshot again because they showed the original team. And so there was kind of teasing, like, this is the original Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh.
This is the movie version of them.
I would not have caught
that. I'm like, that's kind of cool that they had change a lot of their looks and the way they look. And the big Easter egg at the end was, and the first person I thought of was Kai, because I'm like, okay, here it is. And I looked at my buddy, who was also a comic fan, and when they showed the cocoon, I'm like, oh, they acknowledge Adam Warlock, who was a very, very important character in the whole original Thanos Infinity Gauntlet story.
Yep.
You know, it revolves around him and Thanos, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So the fact that they finally acknowledge this character, I'm like, there it is.
However, news is that he won't be in that movie.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll be in it at all.
So I'm guessing he'll be in the second Avengers movie after that one. Ooh. And maybe it'll tease him at the end. But they'll actually use him in the other one.
Point.
That's my guess.
Because I think in the original Infinity War, he was like the general. He basically got
well,
it.
Well, he has to.
He's the main character.
He and Thanos are the main characters.
Yeah.
Everybody else is like fodder.
But he didn't really do anything. He just kind of stood out inside watching, goes, this is what's going to happen next.
Well, yeah.
Right, because it's a cosmic level interaction.
He acts and operates differently, right? Yeah. So the first one I thought of, okay, Kai, great. We finally acknowledged, because we're both cosmic fans, like Adam Warlock is alive. And here he is, so to speak. That was the Easter egg that was most important, that I liked. So.
Can you go through the rest of the, because I don't think I got them.
It's been a while, I don't remember. There was like five, so, right? They had teenage Groot, which I'm like, I prefer baby Groot more. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't want an emo Groot. I don't need to, I don't need teenage rebellious.
I'm glad that Groot is growing though. Like, I didn't want him to stay baby. Like,
yeah, it's kind of fast me, but I understand. Yeah. I did like the Stanley Watcher one. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
They should have made him a Watcher, or maybe he didn't want to be a Watcher. That in itself was cool to see the Watchers, because they exist now in the Marvel Universe. I knew they existed, but to see actual
confirmation. That's one of the only ones I got from stuff
that was told me. Show, like, visual confirmation that they exist. Great.
I thought their heads would be bigger.
They were about right.
They were kind of dingy.
They were pretty about right.
They were big, and I thought they'd be
cool. And I thought that was a very appropriate cameo for Stan to be like, hey, let me tell you a story with the Watchers. I'm like, that's cool.
Well, that's a running.
That's messed up.
It's a running joke. They didn't actually make him a Watcher.
They're saying he might be because they're saying he's the same character in all the movies.
But yeah. they didn't really confirm it.
They messed up that timeline though, right?
A little.
Because Guardians of the Galaxy 2 happens 3 months after Guardians of the Galaxy. Civil War happens way after that. And Stan Lee mentions, oh, I dropped off a FedEx box to Tony Stark.
Right, he goes on to say that was an oversight.
Right. Yeah. He admitted to it.
Yeah, he admitted to it.
You kind of say, like, the Earthbound timeline is different from the Spacebound timeline.
Sure.
You can say, like,
space. You can't say that.
Or his character transcends the timeline.
Exactly. Yeah, you can say stuff like that. That didn't bother me at all. Like, whether he admits it or not, it's like, whatever. It's a cameo. I'm not going to get worked up over that. But anyway, that's kind of what I felt overall. I mean,
well, Kai, since you're walking,
what's your number?
I'll probably give it like a 7.8.
Oh, that's high.
Wow.
That's high.
Hey,
whoa.
That's
right.
I was hovering between 7.5 and 7.8.
I was expecting 7, but that's pretty high for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there was a lot of visual creativity. I really like that. Cinematographic creativity.
Yeah.
But just poor storytelling and poor plot.
Yeah.
And
fair.
Right. You know, it's not a movie that it wouldn't tell people to see, but it's certainly not something that I would look for good examples in, besides the cinematography. So.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, those are my thoughts. Mostly aligning with Anthony, but I get you guys' feelings about it. I don't disagree. It just didn't bother me that much.
Yeah.
I just like hanging out with the gang.
Sure.
It's quite cool to have them bantering around.
I think a lot of it was just how much I was blown away by the first one. I think that was my favorite movie of the year, that year that it came out.
Yeah.
For me personally, that's why this kind of let me down. I was expecting too much, I think.
Well, you know, what you're saying about hanging out with the gang, and I think Anthony was saying the same thing. That's almost exactly what I want. I felt like I was going too far in the movie and all I'm doing is hang out with the gang. Like, guys, do something.
I
want to hang out with the gang. Maybe my expectations are different. Like, I just want to hang out with the gang.
I feel like the way that they killed Eagle was still generic, but at that point, I didn't care. I was like, please, guys, just kill him off already.
And when Eagle
turned evil, it was kind of generic, too. Like, I was like, he just flipped evil. I was like, okay, that's fine. Let's get it.
Yeah.
And Mantis, by the way, is definitely different than the comic book, for sure.
That's not even Mantis,
Even the creator came out and said, Steve Englehart said, that's not my Mantis. I enjoyed the movie version, but that's not my Mantis. So, just throwing it out there.
Yeah. And you know, the thing too that kind of bothered me too was that because it was so kind of casual hangout game, more of what we saw in the first one, I felt that it lacked a real level of some kind of complexity. Mm-hmm. Like it didn't, I know it's supposed to try to reach audience of all ages, mm-hmm. but I still want movies to sort of respect my intelligence.
Yeah.
And infer a lot of things that are a bit more complex and not so drawn out.
Yeah.
But everything here was put you on the platter. And that whole PowerPoint presentation that guy said, it felt like when we ran like a PowerPoint presentation.
A lot of exposition to just explain stuff to you.
Yeah. It wasn't so organic or natural. Now, again, I thought it was a good time.
It was a good time.
I'm spending more time talking about negatives because I wanted it to be at least on me.
Yeah.
A strong impression because the person was so sort of unique. Yep. It really was a unique experience.
It did have complexity. Like the relationships in the first one, they're very complex.
It did.
And the characters are more, I felt like they weren't putting it like just in your face. You saw it in them, but they didn't like make it so direct.
But in this one you have, I just want a sister. He's not your daddy.
Yeah, they make it
you're
too.
You're an
like,
able. You know, it's just so
cliche.
There you go, if you didn't get it.
Yeah.
There you go. And I felt like, oh, okay, I kind of got it already. You didn't have to.
beat you over the head.
Yeah. I mean, after watching movies like Civil War, I mean, you know, it's hard to go back to very simple Marvel movies because Civil War did such a good job of riding that line of, you know, do I side with?
There's some good debates.
Yeah. Who do I side with? Right.
Yeah.
And it respected the intelligence of the viewer.
Exactly.
And nobody complained about it. And this is what I understand. No matter who the audience made for, you can capture the young adult and still be really smart and complex. Mm-hmm. You don't really have to dumb it down or resort to sort of like sideshow acts.
Yeah.
Right? Anyway.
Even though it wasn't bad overall, I mean, I feel like they could have, I feel like they missed the opportunity. So,
I think
the
so.
The first one, was, they did such a good job. But yeah, if I compare, like, I don't think this is worse than, like, you know, like
sure.
Suicide is
awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So your rating would be?
Man, I gave it a free, I give it, maybe like, let's say, 6.5.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think it's factor for me.
Because you loved Guardians.
Yeah.
So it's a steeper drop.
I had
for you.
Too high hopes for it. I mean, it's kind of unfair hopes I think as a audience that I put on it, but
wow. So I would have given it a 6.9. And what it comes down to is I think that it's going to be just like this conversation. Roughly half think one way, half think another. That it's a movie I would recommend, but cautiously. I'd consider who I'm recommending it to. Because of sort of how we generally thought it was entertaining slash good, but had significant reservations about certain aspects of it. And so I couldn't give it a 7, but I couldn't fast enough to give it a lower 6.
Yeah.
And that's 6.9.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat, 6.5.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
It's, I would just mainly tell people to watch it just because it's in the Marvel Universe, and, you know, I'll pretty much watch anything that's not terrible in the Marvel Universe.
Sure.
and like you said, it's a good time, but, I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy, I feel like this franchise is designed to be a good time. I don't think the other, maybe aside from Iron Man, right, this movie is literally designed to be a good time. I mean, the down to the music,
yeah.
To the jokes of it, you know, everything's
the
a fun
outside
ride.
Of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It kind of sits outside of the main Marvel's continuity, right? So it's designed to have a good time. So based on that, I would say, yeah, it's still not good enough to overcome its weaknesses, especially on those relationships, which
yeah.
I feel like that's what made the first one really, really great.
I think that's a fantastic statement that you said, though, that Guardians of the Galaxy is designed to be a good time. I think in
yeah.
some ways that,
sure.
that mentally allows me to give it more leeway.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely right. I think that's what it's supposed to be. I think that's what it needs to continue being when it shows on screen.
A fun movie.
Yeah.
They're all fun movies, but this one's supposed to be, like, really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is supposed to be the fun franchise
yeah.
in MCU.
Like, if you don't watch any other Marvel movie, you can watch this one and not have to worry about continuity on the characters. I just want to watch this.
Or even complex storylines.
Yeah, well, true. True. Yeah.
Right? Maybe they positioned it that way.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Anthony?
I'm looking at the spreadsheet real quick. What the hell? Wait, so you like Iron Man 2 better than this movie, Nick? Are you kidding me?
Iron Man 2.
Thor and Thor 2 better than this movie.
I actually like Iron Man 3 better than this movie.
Well, I do. I do too.
Iron Man 2,
yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to remember. Let me think.
Man. Iron Man
3, I put, yeah. what did I rate it at? Oh, did I rate
Iron
it?
Iron Man 2, you gave it a 7.5.
Oh.
You give Origin
great.
A 7.5.
No, in my mind, I would say that they're about the same quality, like how much I like them. But with the disappointment factor, I'd rate this one lower because
okay.
I like Guardians 1 so much that I,
that
this
sense.
One
that's
let me down to make
yeah.
it lower for me.
It's in context.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
why.
Context is the word.
And I liked Iron Man 1 a lot, but Iron Man 2 let me down. That's probably why I gave it a 7.5 too. On its own, it's probably good.
I don't know. You right. think your rating system's messed up too.
messed up.
I'm gonna give it an 8 because like I said, I liked it better than Doctor Strange. Like easily. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I'm kind of with Anthony on this, surprisingly.
Today's been a weird
one. Well, normally, you know, I debate with Anthony a lot of stuff, but I'm kind of in line with him. I'm surprised that he was so high on this.
You,
I expected Anthony to be like really low on this, to be honest.
Yeah.
Do you also give it an 8?
Yeah, I'll give it an 8. Because I was entertained. I get things that you guys said, but I'm like, I was hanging out with the gang, it was fun, I enjoyed the music, you know, no big deal.
Part of my
thing. I didn't go into this movie like thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to watch this. Like, not that I wasn't looking forward to it, but I'm looking more forward to more like Thor 3, based on what I've seen, and Wonder Woman.
Huh.
But I go into Guardians thinking, oh, okay, I'm just gonna have a good time, I'm gonna have fun. You know what I mean? I don't have this like, oh gosh, I freaking love the first one, I gotta go on the second one, and
maybe it's gonna why,
be, so
why.
I go in thinking like, it'll be a good time, and I'm gonna enjoy it, and for what it is, and for all its warts and, you know, good and bad.
Here we go, so how I walked into it, I didn't walk out of it really feeling anything, besides a little bit of disappointment.
Yep.
And that's the problem. I didn't even have an idea that I was just like, oh, it makes me ponder the idea or sense of something, or a storyline and character, or where it's going to go. In a lot of ways, I don't even really care.
It lost me along the way in a lot of parts.
It felt more or less what I expected.
Yeah. And I actually went in expecting a lot because their reviews were actually quite good going.
Yeah, the first one, did you guys like the first one a lot?
Or? I did enjoy the first one, but it's not my
top. But it's a toss-up between this one and that one, huh? You guys?
Yeah.
Did I review the first one?
Iron
Man 2 is better, Anthony, than this one?
No, what? That's what you put on your spreadsheet.
This was better than, I mean, Iron Man 2?
Yeah. Easy.
Your Doctor Strange crazy number.
By the way, the more I watch the Wonder Woman previews, I'm like, she's just a woman Captain America.
That's what I was telling in the head.
But all the reviews are saying this is actually, you know,
except she's hot.
Different,
but that's all different.
Chris Pine is Peggy Carter, right?
Oh,
Chris Pine is Peggy Carter in this version,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, they've actually made her a hero based on early reviews, and it has more in line with the Richard Donner Superman of, hey, we're not ashamed to be a hero, and we're gonna own it, but we're not gonna be naive about it either. Mm. And I'm like, that's good. Because I'm sick and tired of you, DC, you know, stomping on your heroes and making them like...
The villains are kind of bad. Oh, sorry, the heroes are kind of bad.
Yeah, and so all the reviews have been Wonder Woman. I'm actually looking forward to that one more. Huh. Whereas Guardians, I was kind of like, okay, I'll enjoy it. I'm just going to have a good time.
I felt like that. I was like, how could you make it more boring than World War II? Oh, go to World War I.
How
could you make more?
Next one, Civil War.
So the early reviews are out.
Yeah, they've been good.
They've been very positive.
Not without some issues that have been consistent, but not enough to like, sink the movie. Everybody's saying this is like, what is it?
One headline I saw was Wonder Woman's the best movie of the DCU. I was like, oh yeah, so.
That's
amazing. Anything
could
be.
That's not saying a lot. So they should not lead with that. They should say, look, it corrected the issues and this is, they're saying it's far and away.
Are you as up to like, you know as much about the Wonder Woman storyline as like you do is about Marvel and all that? Because I don't know. The only thing I know is like what I saw from like the Linda Carter TV show.
Kind of.
I don't think I was born when that was.
Dang.
Which I watched live.
Wonder Woman is not that complex, even in storylines. You know,
but they keep changing a lot of times.
They do,
and they've made
major changes.
It's hard to kind of keep up.
3-5 years.
Yeah, and there's always, depending on who writes it, they always flip flop between, is she really a peacekeeper or is she a warrior willing to kill? And it's like, people are sort of like always swinging between the two, and it's like, you know, where does she lean more from? So.
I think she should be a cold-hearted killer.
I could get on board.
There was
that
one review I thought he encapsulated right quite well, but maybe I'll save that for the podcast.
Alright.
He's like, she will go out of her way to rescue people and minimize casualties, but she's not afraid to take lives if she has to, but that's a last resort.
That's what Cassie does.
Wrap it up.
Should we wrap up this part? We can talk afterwards.
Yes, wrap it up.
Yeah, that's my final review, or my score.
Alright.
Okay.
So Nick?
Good job, Nick. You did
nice
your job.
Oh yeah, wrap it up, huh? Forgot about that. You know, I think we had another good installment. This was a very surprising day. The most surprising thing is how Anthony got along with what Arthur was saying. I was listening to Kai when he kicked it off. I'm like, dude, I can't believe I am in my mind. I'm agreeing with everything he's saying. Like, what's going on?
And he still gave it a 7.8.
You guys can agree with each other, but Kai. I was like, whoa.
Nobody ever criticized Andy in the past, and
he didn't even go. He didn't even go that deep in his criticism. He didn't get scathing. I was like, where's the rants? I was getting ready to cut him off on timing, but didn't have to.
But to me, that means the surface level, not issues, but sentiments that went on a certain amount of your, a good amount of your life.
Yeah.
So great.
Okay.
You gotta pick the next host.
Oh.
What's the next movie? If that's what we agree on.
The next host.
Yes. Either way.
Ronald, have you hosted?
Not.
I'm gonna have Ronald host the next one.
All right. Whichever movie.
All DC right. movie, okay.
The DC movie
yeah.
should be
wrong. Whatever it is,
Woman,
and
Wonder Woman it is.
Yeah.
The DC movie should be wrong.
Thank you for anyone who might
DC
be listening.
Evan only, thanks for listening.
Thank
our
you
only
for...
fan.
Yeah, Evan Parkness, we thank you for listening to this.
Yeah, it was quite like we call out some of our listeners and fans. We, like, call out
shout
Evan,
outs to Evan.
Who actually listened to our Doctor Strange podcast and enjoyed it and went through the whole thing, so thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being our one and only
fan appreciation.
He used to be my boss, you know, so he's got good taste.
All right. Thank you very much. I guess we'll end it there.
Nice job.
Signing out. See you guys.
Yeah. Thank you.